Good evening, everyone. This is Reverend Charles Womack. Greetings from Faith-Driven, Grace-Living Ministries. You know, I was reading an article recently, and you know, there is this mega church in Vista, California, who made headlines last October, y'all, when they canceled all of their worship services over the weekend. You see, rather than meeting together in their accreditation sanctuary, your North Coast Church closes doors of what they call a weekend of service, providing churchgoers the opportunity to actually show the love of Jesus in their community. Of the 7,000 believers who attended North Coast Church, over 5,000 of them showed up that Sunday morning to live out their commitment as they tackled 139 community service projects at 7 different sites throughout North San Diego County. The senior pastor of the church said, "Our weekly service projects and our weekend of service is simply one more way in which we help our members understand that church is what we are, not just something we go to." As he continued, he said, "What we tell people is that this week we're going to be the church instead of just go to church." Now, you all, this is an exemplification of what church is all about. You see, you all, there are absolutely just too many Christians, you all, who have a mistaken belief that church, you all, is just something that we go to for 60 minutes on Sunday morning. Of course, that's assuming that the service doesn't go overtime. However, you all, the truth of the matter is, you all, we don't just go to church. You all, we are the church. You all, the church is not just a place. It's people. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You are a city that sits upon a hill." He said, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?" You all, we are the church. I mean, it's up to us. It's up to you. It's up to me to be the church. Now, of course, you all, getting involved in the community and doing service projects like the folk at North Coast Church, you know, that's only a part of what it means to be the church. You know, being the church also means being like Christ. It means being a part of God's family and giving of ourselves and our means. And because of this, you know, let us accept as a title of our message this evening, let's not just go to church, let's be the church. Once again, the title of our message this evening is, "Let's Not Just Go to Church, Let's Be the Church." Now, I don't believe, you all, that there is anyone in all of Scripture that exemplifies, you all, what it means to be the church more clearly and concisely than an often overlooked woman by the name of Phoebe. Now, while, you all, there are no examples in the Bible of the perfect Christian, why? Well, because we have all sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Yet, you know, there is this one woman who's mentioned briefly in Romans 16, 1 and 2, that I truly believe, you all, gives us some insight into what God wants from us and what it means to be the church. Once again, you all, Romans 16, 1 and 2, our passage for the evening. And it reads as follows: "I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Caesarea. I ask that you receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me." Now, you all, we know little about this godly woman who carried Paul's letter to the Romans, and we just have, you all, a brief mention of her name and service. I mean, she was named after the moon goddess of the Greeks, the goddess Artemis, known commonly as Phoebe. You know, she was supposedly identified with the light of the moon. But, you know, the Phoebe whom Paul so highly commends, I mean, she too shone as a light, the light of Jesus, the light of the world. Now, you know, in a 53-word parade of praise, Paul, you know, he gives this woman a beautiful cameo. And it does it for this saintly servant of Jesus. But, you all, what can we learn from someone mentioned so briefly? Well, we can learn a great deal, especially what it means to be the church. You know, Paul, in two verses, he uses three powerful words to describe Phoebe. Now, the first description he bestows upon her is sister. You know, Paul, he begins by saying, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Now, you know, first and foremost, you know, being the church, it means being a part of God's family. Now, it's obvious, you know, that we're not all sisters, but we are all spiritual siblings. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews 2:11, Jesus, who makes people holy, and those who are made holy are from the same family, so he is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. You know, take a moment and allow this amazing truth to sink in. You know, we are a part of God's family. You know, when we place our faith in Jesus, well, God, he becomes our Father. We become his children. Other believers become our brothers and sisters. And the church, it becomes our spiritual family. In Matthew 12:49-50, the red letter words of Jesus are unmistakable. Pointing with his hand at his disciples, he said, Look, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does what my Father in heaven wants is my brother and my sister and mother. Yo, we must clearly understand, yo, that church role is about family. And yo, that may not always mean biological either. Your church is about having brothers and sisters who can come and stand by you with love and support while you are dealing with the trying times of life. You all being included in God's family is the highest honor and the greatest privilege we will ever receive. Whenever you feel unimportant, or unloved, or insecure, or even ostracized, remember to whom you belong. I mean, that's what family is, isn't it? A place to belong. Even in the perfect paradise of Eden, your God said that it is not good for man to be alone. You know, we're not meant to live long-range lives. Rather, you know, we are created for communion. One of the classic hymns and a favorite, you all, in many churches still, is Lonnie Wolf's God's Family, where he says these words, We're part of a family that's been born again. We're part of a family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us his own. Now we're part of a family that's on its way home. And sometimes we laugh together, and sometimes we cry, and sometimes we share together heartaches and sighs. Sometimes we dream together of how it will be when we all get to heaven as God's family. Yes, you all, that's what God's family is all about. You know, it's about laughing together and crying together and dreaming together. In fact, you know, the Bible says that we are put together, joined together, members together, heirs together, fitted together, held together. And one day, you all, we will be caught up together. You know, there's a whole lot of togetherness in God's family. You know, being together, it means experiencing life together. But what do we do together? Well, y'all, there's another Bible passage that answers that question. It tells us, y'all, that we are to be one another, love one another, be devoted to one another, honor one another, live in harmony with one another, let us not judge one another, greet one another, teach one another, encourage one another, offer hospitality to one another, and also, once again, love one another. You all, it takes both God's power and our effort to produce a loving Christian community. You all, being the church, it means being a family and living out those one another verses on a daily basis. You all, let's make that our goal as God's family. Additionally, you all, Paul, he goes on to describe Phoebe in yet another way. Paul, he calls Phoebe, y'all, a saint. Paul told the Roman Christians, y'all, to receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of saints. In other words, y'all, roll out the red carpet Bring on the graffiti. Throw your arms wide open and wrap them around her when she gets there. Why? Because a saint is coming to town. Now, you're despite popular opinion, your one doesn't have to perform miracles or be canonized in order to become a saint. You're every one of us, each and every one of us, you're our saints. I mean, from the time we are born again, at the moment God sanctifies us, he makes us holy. And a saint, y'all, is any person who has been sanctified by God. Romans 1:7, Paul declares, to all who are loved by God are called to be saints. You know, if you are in God's family, then you are a saint. Of course, y'all, now that doesn't mean we're going to always act like saints. Your sainthood and being sanctified is the process of becoming like Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like him and reflect his glory even more. Y'all, both being the church and being a saint, y'all, it means becoming like Christ. Y'all, God's ultimate goal for our lives on this earth, y'all, it's not comfort, but it's character development. You know, we are created to become like Christ. But the thing is, y'all, we cannot reproduce the character of Christ, not on our own strength. New Year's resolution, willpower, the best intentions, y'all, they're just simply not enough. Only the Holy Spirit, y'all, has the power to make the changes that God wants made in our lives. But let me ask us a question, y'all. Y'all, do we sometimes wonder, I mean, why we are not more like Christ? Well, hold on a minute, y'all. Let me answer that question with another question. Y'all, have you all ever noticed how couples, y'all, who've been married for a long time, how they start, y'all, to look like each other? You see, y'all, after many years, there are decades of togetherness. Well, they start, y'all, to have the same mannerism, the same inflection in their voices, even, y'all, the same facial expressions. You see, y'all, the more time we spend with someone, y'all, the more we become like that person. So I ask us this evening, y'all, how much time, y'all, do we spend with Jesus? Y'all, how much time do we spend, y'all, praying and talking with God about life's failures and successes? Y'all, how often do we just open our Bibles and just listen to what he has to say? More than anything else, y'all, I think, y'all, that the Spirit of God uses the Word of God to make us more like the Son of God. But, y'all, we have to be open to it. We have to want it. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. But how does that happen in real life? Well, it happens, y'all, through spending time in prayer and public worship, but also, y'all, through the choices and the decisions that we make. I know, y'all, it may sound cliche, but ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Y'all, what if, y'all, for only one day? What if, y'all, Jesus lived your life for you? I mean, what if, y'all, for 24 hours, Jesus woke up in your bed, walked in your shoes, you lived in your house, and assumed your schedule? Your boss becomes his boss. Your kids become his kids. Your headaches become his headaches. Your health doesn't change. Your circumstance don't change. Your schedule isn't altered. Your problems are not solved. Only one thing changes. Your what if for one day and night, Jesus lives your life without your heart. Yes, your heart gets the day off, and your life is led by the heart of Christ. I mean, what would you be like? And would people notice the difference? Your family, would they see something new? Your co-workers, would they sense a change? And how about you? I mean, what alterations would it have on your stress level, your mood swings, your temper? I mean, would you sleep better? Would you see sunsets differently? Well, adjust the lens of your imagination until you have a clear picture of Jesus leading your life. Then snap the shutter and frame the picture, because what you see is what God wants. You know, the Bible says in Philippians 2:5, in your lives, you must think and act like Christ. You're the heart of Christ's likeness. It's having a heart like Christ. Your God's plan for us, your all, is nothing short of a new heart. Long before Jesus walked the streets of Galilee, God promised in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out that stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you. Your God, He loves us, you all, just the way we are, but He refuses to leave us this way because, you all, He wants us to have a heart like His. You all, that's what it means to be the church. Well, hold on a moment, y'all. We're not quite through yet. Your Paul, He have one last adjective for Phoebe. Your Paul, He calls Phoebe a servant. Once again, Paul, He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a servant of the church. Now the word here, you all, for servant, it is the Greek word diakonos, which is usually all translated deacon or minister. But the point, however, is not, you all, that she held a special position or title, but that, you know, she served her local church in a variety of ways. In the next verse, Paul, He says, help her in every way you can, for she has helped many in their need, including me. You all, being the church means helping out. It means you all being a servant. North Coast Church, you all, is a great model of a service-oriented church. But you all, they're not the only ones. This October, you all, churches everywhere will be canceling their regularly scheduled service in order to be the church, to participate in local community service projects all across the country. But, you all, we don't have to, you all, engage in major community projects to be a servant. I mean, really, you all, we don't even have to leave the building. You see, there are ample opportunities, you all, for everyone to be, you all, a servant of the church right where they are. You all, we could be a servant of the church, you all, in our own local churches. Oh, yeah, we can't all fit in the choir stand. We cannot all, you all, stand at the doors to be ushers. No, there are not enough places in the spotlight for everyone, but we can all be a part of the church. We can do so, you all, by blessing the church with whatever gifts that God has blessed us with. Because those who are actually the foot soldiers making it happen are those who are doing it because of your gifts. So we should always find and know that we can be a part and be a blessing as a part of God's church. So, you know, we find that the church, they're participating in all these community activities, but we don't have to get into all of that. We can do it on the job. We can be a servant of the church in our homes. We can be a servant of the church in our relationships. Wherever we are, we can be a servant of the church. But listen, y'all, the point is this. Being the church, it requires us, y'all, to help out in whatever way that's needed. I know some of us feel like, well, maybe we're not qualified to teach a class, or that we're afraid to speak in public, or our life, y'all, is so busy. But, y'all, it all goes back to that same question. What would Jesus do? Y'all, we're to do what God wants us to do. And then we are to trust, y'all, in His Spirit to give us the power, the love, the courage, and the wisdom that we need. And as Nancy Reagan so eloquently put it, just do it. Robert Morgan, you're a well-renowned novelist. He once told a story, y'all, of a preacher, y'all, who was approached by a man who wanted to join the church. But the man, y'all, he made it very clear. He said, now I have a very busy schedule. I can't be called on for any services like committee work and teaching or other such things. Oh, no, I won't be available for such special projects you all have, like helping with setting up chairs and things like that. He said, no, I just want to come and sit through Sunday service and then just get up and go on about my business. Well, y'all, the minister, he thought for a moment. And then he replied, he said, I believe you're at the wrong church, sir. The church you're looking for is 3 blocks down the street on the left-hand side. I promise you can't miss it. was a man. He followed the preacher's directions. And soon Yoli came upon an old, abandoned, boarded up, closed down church building. You know, it was a dead church, gone out of business. So you see, y'all, that's what happens to churches, y'all, that don't have servants. Y'all, being the church means being a servant. Phoebe was a servant of the church. She had a servant's heart. We would do well to live by her example. Now, as we conclude, y'all, let us remember, y'all, church isn't just something that opens and closes with prayer. Church isn't, y'all, just something we attend. It's something, y'all, that you are. Church isn't just a place, it's people. What does it mean to be the church? Well, if Phoebe gives us anything to go by, it means being a sister, a vital part of God's household, fitted for God's family. It means y'all being a saint, created to become like Christ, and learning to have a heart like his. And it means y'all being a servant, made for ministry, and willing to help out. So whatever you do, wherever you go, whether it's on Sunday, Saturday, or any day in between, remember to be the church. If you want to be a part of God's church family, or if you're not sure whether you're a part of it or not, but yet you desire to know, if you need some help developing a Christ-like heart, if you're willing to be a servant rather than a spectator, meaning that you want to volunteer and help out in any capacity, leading songs at a song service, you want to learn how to prepare a lesson, you want to help with the children's department, fixing pipes or laying tile or any other service whatsoever, then you're invited to be a part of God's church. Yes, your God, he doesn't want us, your just, to go to church. Your God, he wants us, your, to be the church. Will you be God's church today? May God bless you. May God keep you, is my prayer. Good night, everyone. God bless.